This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Thank you for breakthrough in thoughts. Thank you for how you have started helping us. Thank you because you are causing us to have access to consolidate what you are doing in us. We give you praise, our Father. We honor you, Son of God. We give you glory, Lord. Blessed be your name, O God. Adoration to you, Jesus. Glory to you. Blessed be you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, O God. Thank you for light. Thank you for understanding. Thank you for the visit of your angel. Your angel at every offices, homes, business, buildings, ops, the wave that this world are traveling to. Thank you because you are causing change, transformation. You are causing conformity to your Son, conformity to the image of your Son, the light of the glory of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for breakthrough in understanding. Thank you for possessing my thoughts, my mind. I lean upon the scepter of the Spirit. Glory to you, Jesus. Honor to you, Son of God. Adoration to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. I want to thank God for the privilege He has given to us. Once again, I have a very strong impression of the Spirit that God wants to help us to come to a place where we can say we are truly be born into everlasting life. God wants us to be fully born. Or God, let me say, God wants us to be born into everlasting life. And to be born into everlasting life, you will become a newborn babe. I've been saying that has been one of the critical things I saw in the heart of God. He wants many people to be born into everlasting life. And to be born into everlasting life is when you say a man has a good foundation. That when you say a man has good foundation. Which, that is how 1 Timothy 6:19 call it. You have a good foundation. When you are a righteous man, you have foundation. But that foundation is not good enough. Neither is it sure enough. You'll find that in Psalm 11. From verse 1 to 3. Psalm verse 11 from 1 to 3. In the Lord put I my trust. So you can say, I put my trust in the Lord. How say ye to my soul? So this every soul need foundation. Every soul need to be born into everlasting life. Every soul must be born. This is the season of our being born into everlasting life. Being born. Because the word of everlasting life is love, betting. That's why he says it's been born. Even you find James saying that we have been born again as first fruits. James 1:18, after it's every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and coming down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will, who is will? The Father's will. So you know that the Father's will. According to that 1 John 2, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passeth away, and the things then, but they that doeth the will of God. So the will of God there is the will of the Father. Abideth. But not just abideth. When you do all the will of God to the end, you abide forever. There is a foundation that every soul must have, or that every soul must be built with. Every soul supposed to be built with good foundation. Or every soul supposed to be built with sure foundation. In that Psalm 11, verse 1 to 3, he's saying, the Lord, I put my trust. This thing that I put his trust is my soul. How say ye to my soul? How say ye to my soul? Flee as a bird to your mountain. There's the mountain of the Lord. You'll find the mountain of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 2, in Micah 4. Isaiah 2, Micah 4. But in the last day shall I come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord. So you see, he called it, in the Lord put out my trust. I'll say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. So that mountain is the mountain of the Lord. But there's something in the mountain of the Lord. It's in the mountain of the Lord you find material that can make a man sure. You can have a sure foundation. It's the mountain of the Lord. It's the Lord's foundation. Because the Lord has his own foundation. The Lord's foundation is in the mountain. You'll find that in Psalm 87, 1, 2. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loved the gate of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. So you know that the gate of Zion there is in the mountain of Zion. Joshua and all the judges of Israel, none of them captured Zion. David was one that captured Zion and built Zion. And he built Zion to Milo. Zion was occupied by the Jebusites. I love the word. In fact, I love the word. It's Jebusites. There are Jebus have different sites that they occupy in Jerusalem. So, throughout the reign of all the judges of Israel, from Joshua, the man that entered into the promised land, and all the judges, none of the judges to the day of Saul, none of them could fully capture all the territories of the Jerusalem. Jerusalem, there are still some sites. Just like today, there are some sites in the Middle East that is occupied by different nations. For example, you remember that Jordan was given to Israel when they were conquering the land. But now, Jordan is occupied in the Middle East by the Jordan, no longer by Israel. So, though God gave it to their father, but they could not capture all the land. In fact, when you read, by the time Joshua was wrapping up, they said Joshua was sitting in age in 13 of Joshua. Now, Joshua was old and stricken in years. And the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years. And there remained yet very much land to be possessed. So what the judges of Israel did is that they maintained the land that we are captured. That they captured, that Moses to Joshua have captured. All the judges were not pushing in conquering more land. And that continued throughout all the trial judges. There was still very much land to be possessed. May this not be our experience. That we will be old and stricken in years, but we have not conquered many land in our soul. Our land have not been conquered for the living God. Many of the land that the Philistines are living today in, the really land that should have been able to be conquered by Israel. So it was when David came, David was the only person, even he continued to try the judges. All what judges do is that they kept on fighting the enemies that come against them because there were still many land around them. So they kept on fighting. Sometimes the enemy will bring another tribute. In the name of Gideon, Jephthah, they just maintain the status quo. May we never maintain the status quo. So there's some people can maintain spiritual status quo. People that are not ready to advance. People that are not ready to be progressive in their journey with God. The righteous has foundation. But they say, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So the admonition that they gave to the righteous is that his soul should fly to the mountain of the Lord. Because upon the mountain of the Lord, That is when you will find good foundation. That is when you will find sure foundation. The righteous cannot stay lower than his mountain. That would say his foundation. The foundation of the Lord is in the holy mountains. So God kept his foundation in the holy mountain. So it's the foundation that is in the holy mountain that Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16 was talking about. You find the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I laid in Zion. What is Zion there? Mountain of the Lord. That's the mountain of the Lord. Because Zion is one of the mountain of the Lord. There's other mountain of the Lord. But the mountain of the Lord is also the mountain that what? That Abraham, Horeb was also the mountain of the Lord. Horeb. Mount Olive was also the mountain of the Lord. And these are all mountain of the Lord in Israel. So, but Zion is the mountain of the Lord. So he said in that Isaiah 28, 16, therefore thus said the Lord God, behold, I lay Zion for a foundation, a stone. But it's not just a stone alone that is in Zion. There's another thing in Zion, a try stone. There's not just only a try stone that's in Zion. There's a precious cornerstone. Can you see the fine layers that they put in upon his mountain, the mountain of the Lord? Not just a precious cornerstone that is a foundation in Zion. Also, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. That means when you come into Zion, you can't make haste. You need to assess all these foundational stones upon the mountain of the Lord. So you can see in that Psalm 11, where he said, in the Lord put all my trust. Because to ask the Lord, it means you are putting your trust in his foundation of the Lord. The foundation that the Lord himself laid. So that you will not be confounded. He said that you shall not make haste. Not to be confounded. Not to be dismayed. Not to be ashamed. Because anything, any soul that lack these foundational stones will be dismayed. You will never be good as the Lord is good. So in that Psalm 11, 1 to 3, in the Lord put I my trust, I'll say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain. So the Lord did not only put foundation on Zion, which is the mountain of the Lord. It is on that mountain that the house of the Lord will be built. The house of the Lord is called holy temple in the Lord. And it's also upon that mountain the habitation of God will be built into the spirit. So if you don't assess that mountain, you will not assess spirit content. So it's in that mountain that spirit materials are kept and are laid up for souls that want to transact, so that want to be good. Last week, Wednesday, I began to talk about what the world was built with. That the world built with wisdom, the philosophy and vain deceit. And I said that wisdom came from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And I said oftentimes when men use that thing, there's that men now find both a way that seemeth good. I said that way lead to death, and that way also lead to destruction. There's a way of death. And there's a way of destruction. So you find out that there's a way of death and there's a way of destruction. It's both the way of death and destruction. You know that destruction is higher than death. You don't know? When you read Psalm 93, thou turneth man to destruction and say it, return ye children of men. So there's a way of destruction. There's a way of death. But way of destruction is higher than way of death. Way of death is the John 10:10. Way of death is the way of killing. Where we are then, so you find the thief coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And also, you find it also in that Matthew, do not fear ye that can kill only, but cannot destroy the soul in her. So the first thing that every man go to is to be killed. That's the way of death. You find in Matthew 10:28, fear not he that who can kill the body or put to death the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But so the soul can be killed. Then, but rather fear he who is able to destroy both the soul and the body. So the soul can be killed first, then they move further. To be killed, the soul is dead, and then the way of destruction. So the philosophy of this war is thing that kill, and ultimately he move into destroying. Why is Satan interested in destroying men? You should ask that question. Why is he interested in destroying? Because what is kill? There's still hope. They say, he said it in the book of Job. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. So it's so that there can be change from a state of death. Death is not the final answer to a man. If you steal from a man, you can restore it back. In fact, there is a law of restoration from when you steal. That you can restore. What you steal stolen can be referred back in sevenfold. That the person will be seven times better. We saw that about Job. That's why every time God allows Satan thrice, every God will make sure you don't destroy him. You can touch things, you can kill things around him, but don't destroy him. Kill things, but I will never allow you to be destroyed. You can steal things from a man. You can kill a man, but don't come and destroy him. Everything that is destroyed cannot be restored. There's no redemption again. That's the thing that have happened to every fallen angel. They were not just stolen from. Satan did not just kill them. Satan destroyed them. In fact, Jude render it in book of Jude. Jude 1:6, the angel would kept not their first estate, but let their own habitation and they reserved in everlasting chain under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Because they were destroyed. So God had to put them into perpetual destruction. You must be born into everlasting is so that you can escape destruction. And you must not only be born everlasting, you must perpetuate yourself in everlasting. Say perpetuate. Perpetuate means you must continue. Which means when you are born into everlasting, you make yourself sure and make yourself very sure. Very sure is called steadfast. That entire behind the veil. What is the veil? Everlasting. Most holy.
Yes, sir.
Which is salvation. Where you keep being safe. Because when you move into the everlasting, you keep being safe. You're journeying in salvation. Where you perpetuate life. And I say, God wants to burn men to everlasting. Where you are not under the influence of arrows. Because there are those arrows. Psalm 91 said, the arrows that fly by days, destruction by noondays. The arrows. Psalm 91:5-6. Thou shalt not be afraid. You see, God wants to bring us into where souls are not God afraid. Your soul is not afraid of being killed. Your soul is not be afraid of being stolen from. Your soul is not afraid of being killed. Your soul is not afraid of being destroyed. Which Jesus also was teaching in Matthew 6. He said, but if that we are able to, you have to lay up yourself treasure, not on earth. You have to lay up yourself treasure in heaven. What he called heaven there is the mountain of the Lord. Heaven is the mountain of the Lord. It's a place of height. Mountain is a place of height. It's a place of high places of God. Because what you find, those heights, you receive the ministry of the high priest. You receive the ministry of the most high God. Like Melchizedek ministry is in the most high priestly ministry. Those are where blessing lies. Abraham desired that thing. And Melchizedek gave him a blessing of bread and wine. And put a blessing upon him. You are shielded. I am your shield. I am. The Lord become your shield. You become. And what is shield free for? You shield against that. You use shield against arrow. You use shield against spears of the wicked one. Those are what shield are meant for. In that mountain are faith's places. Faith. That's why a stone, a tri stone, a precious cornerstone, they are faith. Faith formations. They give faith into hope. Because hope is another faith. Love is also a high faith. They are all faith. Faith, hope, and charity. They are things that they used to constitute sheet. That's Abraham was a being of faith. God said, walk before me and be thy perfect, for I am your shield. You know, after Abraham met Melchizedek in Genesis 14:22, after I finished making Melchizedek, he gave tithe of all. What is tithe of all? Tithe is not just only money. It's good to give tithe of money. I'm not saying you should not give your tithe of money and your grain. Jesus did not say people should never give tithe. If he only rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he said they give the tithe of cumin, anise, and mint. Matthew 23:23. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have omitted weightier matters. He called them weightier matters of the law. He said the law is judgment, mercy, and faith. So that I don't understand those who say we are in the sin of grace. We are not against the sin of law. There's a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Just that they change law. Yes. The Old Testament is the law written upon table of stones. But now we have law written in the spirit. Yes, Paul was talking about that law in Romans chapter 3. For I have seen and cut short of the glory of God. Bing! Can you see the process of time? It's not once you are justified. It's not once you are justified. Justification is not the one-time experience. There are different milestones of justification. When you learn the meek of the word, where they bring justification to your soul. When you hear the word, when you receive the teaching of the meek of Christ. Meek of Christ. Which Holy Ghost teach it. It's a wisdom that Holy Ghost starts teaching you. Not hidden wisdom and not deep wisdom and not wisdom, which is Christ. But it's a wisdom that Holy Ghost will teach you, which has to do with the meek of Christ. When you hear faith towards God or faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they dive not just water baptism and Holy Ghost baptism, they dive into the doctrine of baptism, which was what John the Baptist taught. John the Baptist was one that taught the doctrine of baptism. And the people that John the Baptist taught the water of baptism to were not Gentiles. They were people that have faith towards God. Their faith was towards God. He was the one that he taught doctrine of baptism to. So doctrine of baptism is doctrine is a culture of baptism. The word doctrine is a culture of baptism. We find that because the word doctrine means manner that you should be baptized into the way of those who are baptized by it. Truly, you say you have faith in God, faith towards God. This is the conversation of those who are baptized. So John was the owner of the doctrine of baptism. There are practices of baptism, which entails water baptism in the name of Jesus. And Holy Ghost baptism. Those were practices of baptism. But there's a doctrine of baptism. Doctrine of baptism was taught by John the Baptist, which starts with remission of your sin. When you teach doctrine of baptism, that is when you will start remission of your sin or cleansing of sin from your mind. Because sin is in our mind. Cleansing of sin from your members of your outward body. Because our outward body has sin there. Like born again, my spirit is born again. Then my spirit is Christ. Because Holy Ghost dwells in my spirit. So my spirit is Christ. My spirit is not wanting justification. Because my spirit, when it's born again, is a new being. So it does not need to be justified. What needs justification is my soul. And in my soul is my mind, my heart, my conscience, and eventually record of sin in my members of my outward body, just as the members of my inward bodies. My mind has its members. My heart has members. My conscience has members. Those members have record of sin on the inside. What is record of sin? They have memory of sin. Because they are practicing. New birth, being the Holy Ghost, does not erase those experiences and record and what? Record and practices that have become habitual in them because they've used it and it's an habit. My mind has habits that you cannot wipe it off by being born again. If they wipe it off, I will become useless. Because those are the things that make me functional on this life. Though they are sin, they are disobedient, they are the wisdom of man. They are the wisdom of this world that I've used to raise me as a functional person on earth. So if they should wipe it off, I will completely be useless on earth. So heaven cannot just wipe those God. They inform manner of life and behavior, attitude, reaction, in all my action, they are the thing that have built them over the year. So when I gave my life to Christ and I feel ready to go, if they should wipe away those things at once, I will not be able to function on it. So heaven does not do it. Heaven set up a program of renewing, a program of transforming. They use those things in the Bible. Be renewed in the spirit. That spirit there, James called that spirit, that they refer to in Ephesians 4:28, he called it the spirit of your mind. James called it, he said, do not say that the spirit that dwelleth in us is lost. That thing called spirit there is lost. That dwell in us. He said, he lost it into envy. He said, he dwelleth in us. That thing that called spirit there is not. It's not spirit as beings. What they call it spirit? They are invisible laws. God, that's what you can use it. Laws. Laws in our mind. You call it the spirit of the mind. The spirit of means the law of the mind. The spirit of the heart is the law of the heart. They are spirits, they are laws, and their ways. They are laws, their ways. They are intertwined. They dictate how I imagine, how I reason, how I think, how I consider. Those spirits of the heart, they are the one that is called motive, intention. They are there. They are unseen, but they are spirit of the mind. And how did they got there? When man ate into the tree of knowledge of good and evil, a wisdom brought those things. And through practices, they train those things and they became habitual. Sometimes, when it's in your mind, they determine your perspective, your perception. Perception of situation, perception of people, perception of church, perception of ministry, perception of who a leader is, perception of what a pastor is. You can be born again with the Holy Ghost. You still have those things in your mind. You will still have it in your heart. Your perception, your persuasion. Those men, they call my, that's my persuasion. No persuasion. Those persuasions are not informed by truth. They are not informed by grace. You don't have it yet. Because grace are not, it's not grace that taught you those things. Grace has to not come and teach you again. For the grace of God, Titus today, from verse 12, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Because what I've taught before are philosophies of this world. Then deceit. What taught your mind? What programmed your mind? What taught your heart? What taught the members of your bodies? We are knowledge of the tree of good and evil, civilization, culture, tradition you receive from your father are the one that taught and train. They are the one that program. You can program a robot. We are programmed by philosophy of this world. It was a philosophy. Philosophy is a wisdom. It wasn't truth that programmed us. It was not grace that programmed us. It was not the wisdom called Christ that programmed us. It was not the wisdom which Holy Ghost teacher that programmed us. It was not wisdom from above that programmed us. What programmed us are from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And what they do, they even steal natural deposit of good in man.
They corrupted it. They perverted it. And reprogram it. You can be a Christian for 40 years. What you are still carrying are philosophy, ideology, a perception, motive, intention, persuasion, consideration, judgment that were learned by everything you are exposed to. And you can be a Christian like that and go to heaven. But those things were designed to kill your soul. Small, 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 small. You call it dying. You keep dying. Because that is what Genesis chapter 2 said. God said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So, what surely die there was not the woman's spirit. Woman's spirit died once. Because woman's spirit is called lamp or candle. That will lighten my candle. It's not a man, it's like a lamp. You kick candle once. Candle died once. So spirit died once. But the soul, even as a Ezekiel, the soul was still dying. The soul have not finished dying. In the book of Ezekiel, you still hear the soul that's also a man, as the soul of the father, and also the soul of the son, man. The soul that sinned, continue sinning, he shall die. So imagine from Genesis to Ezekiel, soul was still dying. May the Lord bless all these, our brothers, that our grace teacher, once and forever save people. You need to be patient, my brother. Don't conclude Bible too soon. I beg you. I'm just appealing to us. So that you are not dying and you say that you are living. That is a great self-deception. From the prophet and Old Testament. Jesus quoted prophets. All the apostles, they reference prophets. In fact, New Testament was built upon the foundation of the scriptures of the prophets. So prophets are not against grace. Mm-hmm. Go and read 1 Peter. He was the prophet that prophesied of the grace that is about to come to us. Yes, and they sat diligently and inquired about it. The grace, the era of grace, the prophet are the one that spake about it. Yes, 1 Peter 1, 10 to 11, of which salvation the prophet have inquired and sat diligently. Who prophesied of the grace? The era of grace that you are all talking about. Prophet are the one that spoke about it, oh, my brother. Upper grace, we are carving. Once and forever, save people. The grace that we are rejoicing in, prophet are the one that prophesies it. So, prophet are not law people. Prophet, they enjoy grace. Yes, now I find grace in the sight of God. Yeah. And now I was a prophet. Enoch was a prophet. Because, why? Because they lean to the Holy Ghost. This is the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. Dispensation of grace is the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. So, all prophets, we are led and moved by the Holy Ghost. I say, for the prophet that don't spoke in time past. 2 Peter chapter 1. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but only men of God spake as we are moved by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is dwelling in us now. Holy Ghost was with them. Holy Ghost is in us, but Holy Ghost was with them. Holy Ghost moved them. All what they said was not by the will of men. They didn't wake up and start pen and start writing. They were moved. So both the minor and major, they prophesied about the time of grace that we are enjoying in the New Testament. So that's why when you see all the apostles of the New Testament, they reference the prophets. Because the prophets are the ones that they lay the framework upon the foundation that the apostles and holy prophets of New Testament built upon. They are the ones that build the framework. It's in the framework of prophet of old that were moved by Holy Ghost that only prophet and only apostle built with. So prophet of old, we are not law people. They are very, very relevant. He took the prophet to say, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. And when you begin to go to the New Testament, you find it. Peter referenced that. Paul referenced it in Ephesians chapter 2. So who are you? Are you better than Paul, the reference prophet? Are you better than our Lord Jesus Christ that brought grace, the reference prophet? The Bible says, when after Jesus resurrected, I would say, he taught them from Psalm and prophets. After his resurrection, resurrected Lot, not the one that was teaching in parable. A lot of people, you are just a theologian boy and little Bible study and Sunday school boy. You need to be patient. Or on our BBGOs, you need to be patient too. So that we don't enter into the condemnation of Satan. Satan, not they play with people. What brought me to this thing? I was just saying that the wisdom that built the war. And when I said the word that built man, the world and its inhabitants, was not the wisdom
that Holy Ghost taught. It was the knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that trained minds, culture mind, perpetuate two practices, perpetuate habit of the mind, habit of the heart, habit of the conscience, eventually habit of the members of the body. So I was talking about that being justified. Now justification is different level. Justification is not the one thing. After resurrection, Jesus Christ was justified in the spirit. So in Timothy. After Jesus Christ resurrected, they also justified him again. Before angel. In Timothy. Great. Without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's who is God. That's Jesus. The word. Justifying the spirit. Sin of angel. So this is not justified by faith. Before they came to preach it to the Gentile, there were things that happened in heaven. In the spirit. To receive approval. Justification means to be approved. They don't just approve you once. If they started approving Jesus, they approved him at Jordan. They approved him month of transfiguration. After resurrection, they approved him again. Even when he was on the cross, you know, he was also approved. Where some people say he thunder. When Jacob was praying. Even on the cross, they approved him again on the cross. That the son soldier and some men say, truly, this must be a son of God. Heaven speak, and somebody says he was thunder. So you saw that Jacob went through different justifications. So being justified, so you have to know that being justified freely by his grace through redemption, because those who preach grace, by his grace, it's not just that we have grace. Grace, that means being justified freely by his grace. Mean what is grace? Grace is learning of faith to love. It's learning faith to love from the meek of the world. To the meat of the world, to the strong meat of the world. The content of grace is faith and love. You find that in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. The grace of our Lord was what? Exceedingly abundant you are with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. You also find the same thing in 2 Timothy again. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound word, which thou have heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And what is Christ? For Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. So, sound word is grace and truth. So when you say, the law came, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. So what Jesus Christ came with? Grace and truth. So what is grace? Faith and love.
Yes, sir.
So grace is faith and love. So if you have, there is the grace of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Eh? There is the grace of God. So when you have the grace of the Lord, what you find the grace of the Lord is that it's essentially abundant with faith and love. When the disciples say, let your word be seasoned with grace. When you say man is preaching grace in his mouth, the man is preaching faith and love. And love there is not God loves you, God loves you, and this of grace, God loves you, God loves you. Grace, love, no, that's not what that love. I say love is dying. Love is laying down your life. Love is commitment to lay down my life. John 15, 30 say, greater love and no man than did that a man should lay down his life for his friend. Also, you also find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Love constrain. So, if you preach love that is of grace, it must constrain people. It must tell people to lay down their life. It must tell people to live for God. Love tells you to live for God and not live for yourself. You can't be living in sin and so you are living for God. You can't be living for the lust of men, lust of Gentile, and eventually lust of this world. Those are the things that you fed yourself with and you say you are walking in love. My brother, every man that use lust will pass away. Love not the world, not anything in the world. If a man love the world, the Lord of the Father is nothing. And these are the things that is all loved in the world. For these are the things that are in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. It's not of the Father, but it's of the war. And the war passeth away, and the laws thereof. So when you can't be saying you are a teacher of the love of the Father, the love of God, the love of Christ, love for all the saints, and people are living for lusts of men, lust of the Gentiles, lust of flesh, useful lust, ungodly lust, worldly lust, different kind of lust, they are living for different kind of lust.
And that is one against their soul. And you are saying because they are in sin of grace, grace cover it. My brother, my sister, my Gio, my man of God, my daddy and mommy, please. Me, I don't agree with that one. Scripture does not, it does not align with the tenet of our, the commandment of holy apostles and prophets of God in the New Testament. Grace will empower you by teaching you. Grace will empower you by instructing you. If grace is a teacher, then grace is a tutor. If it's a teacher, then grace is a counselor. If it's a teacher, then grace is an instructor. If it's a teacher, then grace guides. Grace will guide you. It will instruct you. It will counsel you. It will strengthen you. It will empower you. It will energize you. It will give you ability. It will give you competence, spiritual strengthening to deny all manner of lust that war against the soul, so that your soul will not perish, so that your soul will not be killed, or will not die. You won't follow the way of death, and you won't follow the ways of destruction, because you see things that something seems good to you. Because those that we submit to God, the tree that we ate into is the tree of knowledge of good. So there are things that will be good to you. But it's not what God called good. For God does know that the day that you eat of that thing, then your eyes shall be open and shall be as God, knowing good and evil. So the good that we know is the good that is from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We don't know the good that is in God. And you can't know the good that is in God if you are not ready to submit to the teaching of truth. It will take the teaching of truth. It will take truth to show you what is good, for you to know the real truth. And so if truth is going to show you what is good according to what is in God, because no one is good except God, or no one is good except the Lord, you find that in the book of Psalm, the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. So is the Lord me, our Lord Jesus Christ, and also the Lord is that Spirit. Holy Ghost is the Lord, the Spirit. The Holy Ghost is also good. And God is good. So it is breakthrough in seeing them. Finding breakthrough in understanding. Finding breakthrough that we assess what is good. And we begin to submit ourselves to it for renewing what seems good to us. Or transforming our mind and be renewed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. We start the operation, being ye transformed by the renewing. Because if renewing is continuous, the transformation is also continual. That renewing is not by taking scripture and confessing it. Renewing is not by confession of mouth. Transformation is by obedience. Renewing is by obeying. Transforming is by obeying. It's by obeying something, not by confessing. We are not renewed. We are not transformed by confessing. We are renewed by obeying. When we obey what has been revealed to us, what they are showing to us, when we see, when they teach us, they instruct us, Holy Ghost, not our heart, and we obey instruction, we obey commandments of the Spirit. We obey instruction of the Spirit. We obey leading, subjection, that thing our subject, we submit ourselves to it, and we are led. That is how we are transformed. That's how we are renewed. That's how they renew things that have been built in us. So, why we must go to the mountain of the Lord? Because it's the mountain of the Lord. He said it. In the Lord, put on my trust. I'll say to my soul, flee as a bear to your mountain. For lo, the wicked bend their bow. The whole world lies in wickedness. And the wicked is the perpetrator of iniquity. What's iniquity? Evil. Is a worker of iniquity or worker of evil. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stand sure. Anything that's not sure is not good enough. There's a good that is of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will teach you good. There's a good that Christ is. But a good that the Father and God is. So, or there's a good that is sure. And the intention of God is to bring every soul into that place where you are sure. You are not just abiding. The good in Christ makes you to abide. But God wants you to abide forever. Abide forever means you are sure. God wants souls to abide forever. not just to abide forever in destruction, in death, but God wants to abide in everlasting life. God wants you to abide in life, not in death. Air is also forever. And a fire can keep you forever. But God doesn't want you to abide in death forever. God wants to abide in grave forever. God wants to abide in life. And I use the word, say, and perpetuate. What perpetuate? Continue abounding in life. That is what he said. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life. Don't just have life. Have it more. Don't just have it more. Have it abundantly. That when you say you have life in abundance, is when you have grace. Say, for the grace of our Lord is exceeding abundance. Oh. With faith and love. I mean, have faith in abundance. Have love in abundance. The love is the nature of life. Every life measure is love. Life is interpreted in love expressions. How you interpret life is in love expression. That's why apostles of New Testament, the litmus test, what they used to pass a church,
yes,
is not in activity.
Yes,
it's in your love life.
Yes,
when we heard of your faith,
yes,
and your love for all the saints, seeing you purify your soul in obeying the truth unto unfeigned love of the brethren, the litmus test for a life is his love quality. And they tell you, even when you go to 1 John, do not love with words, but love in deeds and in truth. What did love in action? Indeed, man, in expressions. When you see book of James, James called the faith there. Say, show me your faith. I will show you my faith by my works. I will say, now we are instead of grace, we are not instead of works. I will show you my faith by my works. What they call works there is by my love. Because it's a faith that works by love. You don't have faith if it does not translate to love expression. So there is love expression that are physical. There are love expression that are unseen or that are invisible.
Wow.
So faith of the meek of the world as love expression that are physical. Or love action that are physical. But by the time you move to the faith of the Son of God, or faith of Christ, you start expressing love that is not seen. That love is only seen by men that have hope that is not seen. I'm gradually talking to something. There is a faith life that is calibrated by the love that is seen. Love expression of it is sin. Like the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is a faith that you can see. For the Bible says, believers, we are first called Christian in Antioch when they saw the way they live their life. There's a life that the Gentile can see and can read. Peter spoke about that. So that when they speak evil of you, they can be ashamed in Peter. That they falsely accuse you. He said, so that when you suffer, make sure you are not suffering for wrongdoing. Because if you have stayed around the water of things that we are teaching in our churches of light, you will see yourself that you are good in a way. And people will say, you are a good person. But that does not mean you are good. That good is still good that is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your parents that are Christian, that go to our church, they come to you and say, you check in your church, you love each other. That is the love that they can see. That is still sin faith and sin love. That faith is not a spiritual faith. It's not a spiritual love. Spiritual faith, which is the faith of Christ, and charity is not sin. A Gentile cannot see it. An unbeliever cannot see it because he does not have senses that have been exercised to see it. He does not have senses that have been exercised in righteousness. It's your brethren that we know if you love them, that are being exercised in spiritual senses. That's why I say good is in degree. For them to say, foundation of the righteous, why it can still be destroyed? Because your foundation can be destroyed when what you think you have built. I'm born again and I've heard meek of the world. I know how to use faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith to receive healing, faith to believe God for my provision. I have grace of the meek of the world. They have taught me doctrine of baptism, what they call enchristed, on him realities. My identity in Christ, my placement in Christ, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Believer governmental authority, where I can govern demons. I can take, is that my, is a government authority. But it is not governmental power that comes by submission and stature and growth. Because now my papa be government. I they use the blame on my papa. It's a government authority that they confine on me. Because we are the one in government. Because we are in government. Now, our party, they reign. But I do not have my own credential. So it's because we are just using governmental authority and we have governmental influence. But I have not built a track record of obedience and a track record of works with God and work with God. So, with doctrine of baptism or in new creation reality will bring me. But the doctrine of baptism, when John was teaching it, it comes with, say, letting that out two quotes, parts with one. John was teaching because it's the faith towards God and repentance from dead work. Which also Paul taught in Acts of the Apostles when he was talking about all the elders. Testifying both to the Jew and also to the Gentile, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. But in Hebrew, therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not only again, repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and of the doctrine of baptism. So when you are teaching doctrine of baptism, you will start teaching commandment of love. Doctrine of baptism is a commandment of love, work, or faith towards God. So, and you see, when John the Baptist was one that taught the doctrine of baptism very well. So, he would tell them, he was teaching them, letting that out two quotes, part with one. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you? These are those who have practiced repentance from dead work, and they have practiced faith towards God, but they do not understand interpretation of faith. So John came to give interpretation and expression, which is his doctrine of baptism. Because doctrine of baptism was given to John. So John did not only put people in water. He was teaching the doctrine. What is the doctrine? The manner of life of that exercise. That you can be deep in water and you are still retaining your old one, where it's not changing your constitution of your heart, your mind, your conscience, and your frame inside. But what can crack your inward frame and renew your inward frame? So John was not just a man that was doing the practice of baptism. He was also giving the tenets. He was giving the tenets. The manner of life that a man that has been baptized should live by, should express by.
Yes,
so this is the doctrine of baptism. This is what they call the doctrine of baptism. He said unto the multitude that came forth to be baptized. This is what the pastors that have multitude in churches will be preaching. If you say you are a teacher of the meek of the world, not saying what you have, make sure don't give your money to anybody. You should invest so that people don't turn you to become prophet like them. Don't give your money. You know, that's what a lot of us do. Invest your money, turn your money so that you can help many people. You see, I'm not saying people should give that their money anyhow. They should be foolish. But this is not what John taught. You're talking about baptism. Baptism, because new Christianity is inch on doctrine of baptism, is in him. You are baptized with Christ and you are a new man. So what the reality of what you're a new man? I have the authority of Christ. I'm a righteous of Christ. So if you're a righteous of Christ, do works of righteousness.
Yes.
Doctrine of righteousness. Which is doctrine? What is the viper? We have warned you to flee from the rock to come. Bring forth therefore. Say what? bring forth therefore fruits. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. At every level, from the least teaching is love, love, if on the meek of the world. Bring forth therefore fruits. What day of repentance? I think fruit of, you started your journey from repentance from dead work. Repentance from dead work as is fruit. Faith towards God, half is fruit. Doctrine of baptism, half is fruit. Lay of hand, half is fruit. Judgment, half is fruit. Resurrection, half is fruit. These are their fruits. The fruit of repentance from dead work, faith towards God, or faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or repentance and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Doctrine of baptisms, water baptism, Holy Ghost baptism, being baptized into Christ, laying of hands, doctrine of judgment and resurrection, they have their fruits. This is their fruit that John was teaching here. That's their fruit. Those are the fruit of Christ. You find when you read Romans chapter 6, you find fruit twice. That's the first fruit in 17:18. There's the first fruit there. Then before using the first fruit, when you have been servant of righteousness, it's a first fruit that you bring forth. So when the man is teaching what they call apostle doctrine, so apostle doctrine have his fruit. And so when you read what John taught, you will see that those are the things that the apostle built upon, called apostle doctrine upon. Because this was what Paul archived to the Hebrew church, which was apostle doctrine. An apostle doctrine stem off from the teaching of John the Baptist and what the Holy Ghost taught them. Because John the Baptist was driven by the Holy Ghost. So it was the Holy Ghost that taught John the Baptist and archived those things. Bring forth therefore fruits. Look at fruit. Worthy of repentance. That means from the beginning of the journey of every believer, which is repentance and faith towards Jesus Christ. That's how they render it in Acts of Apostles 20. Twice there. Testifying of repentance. Act 20 from 21. Testifying both to the Jew and also the Greek. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So that word faith towards is faith in the Lord. Repentance towards is repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Which was all what the apostle called apostle doctrine. The first thing you introduce a believer to. When you have used all these things, you're supposed to produce fruits. When you read this Acts of Apostles chapter 20, you will see Paul telling the elders that they gather for you to know that Paul have this doctrine of baptism and repentance, very, very strong in him. He said, for you know, in the space of 3 years, I've never kept back anything from you, or everything that the whole council of God declared it unto you. And he said that I've never coveted any man's things,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Which was exactly what John also wanted. He warned the soldier and people that he should not covet another people's things. He told them that he have used this hand as work to provide for his necessity and then that travel with him in God's ministry. He said he has never coveted people's gold. So now we have people that believe God but covet land, covet things. So when you, there's no way you can say you learn apostle doctrine, or you learn meek of the world, or you learn the doctrine of Christ, faith and love, for love for the sin. And people perpetuate covetousness. So look at, let's read this, Luke 3. Bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance. I mean, if you have experienced repentance towards God and faith towards Lord Jesus Christ, and you are in the doctrine of baptism, new creation, reality teaching, this is the conversation that should come out of you. This is the fruit you should bear. You have enjoyed laying of hand. You have understand doctrine. These are the conversation. Bring therefore full word of repentance and begin not to say within yourself. I love, as if they know that there will be new creation reality and hyper grace. It's God that knows those who are saved. No, don't say within yourself. Nobody, because no, I was saying something. I said this teaching has nothing, it's not the shishow within. It is not within yourself. It is firstly the faith and the love. The expression of this faith is what they must see outside.
Yes, sir.
It must be visible,
yes, sir,
to all.
Yes, sir.
Do not say within yourself, Don't say within. This, you are not yet in the season of within. When everyone wants to start doing within is to move into become things of spirit, things that are spiritual. Spiritual faith, spiritual love. What they are still teaching here, there are teaching you things of supernatural. It's still natural. Things that everybody will see. So there must be a good. Which none of us may have it in our office. You don't steal. You don't lie. Your boss knows that you're a good person. Your neighbor, they know you're a good person. You pay your due every month. When everybody does not want to pump water where you neighbor, you take it upon yourself to keep pumping water for 7 years. You believe in that house. Nobody contributes. When they do security, men that clean, you are the one. Even when nobody's playing, you put your money and clean everybody. And if it's a good man. That man is a good man. His wife is good. That's just men talking good. That is not good. It's not. You have not arrived at a good foundation. And don't let it enter your head. You can be, men can be celebrating you. They are only judging good because they know themselves that they're not like you. But what God called good is not what man called good. But that good came as a result of faith. Faith in the Lord's cry. And love demand for the sin that you have inside yourself here. And now people say, you're a good man. All your business people, all your business partner. When they do business with other person, they are afraid that they can carry their money away. But the way they don't, nobody are afraid with your customer. If you have customer base, they are not afraid. They say, when you trade with Kabik, fruit and drinks, they are very, very, they are very good. You are not using things. Everybody, they are good. They are good people. They are good people. What you order for is what you see. What you get. You don't have unjust care. That's good. But that is not good that I'm talking about. It's not good that Gentile can see. Because there's a place where let men see your good work. Then glorify your Father which is in heaven. That good is still low. They are good under the sun. But they're not good in the spirit. Good in the spirit is produced by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love for the brethren. So every time we can become celebrity among men. We can become celebrity among our siblings. We can become celebrity in our workplace. Because there's a good that is not easily found among men. But that doesn't mean that you have good foundation. That doesn't mean that you have arrived at sure foundation. That doesn't mean that you have arrived at the mountain of the Lord. That doesn't mean that your soul has fled. If the wicked shoot arrow, what men call good you. When they put pressure on what they say good, you will change. They will see what is made, what your soul, your mind, your heart, your conscience, and things that are still resident in your member. When Paul said, for nothing is good in my members, in me, in Romans chapter 7, it was not that he was bad like that. Paul was not a bad person. He was talking about, I started something last week. I said, what Satan plants as good and evil is not what is higher than Adam. I said, there's no way because what Adam living so hard was good. What God saw was good. But what Eve saw, he said it was a tree that was good for food. May the Lord bless her with judgment.
Amen. Amen.
I said before he came into when he saw that tree was good, it was not a one-day experience. The serpent was soft too. The serpent used wisdom, philosophy to paint and paint and paint until the woman saw that the tree was good in Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, the first thing that the woman saw it, he was not. And this is a man, woman that saw that was good, that he had knowledge of what was good before. Because God comes to paint and fellowship, he understands what was good in level of living. But this serpent, Satan entered into it and making wiser to paint something that was superior than, because I said the good that God was coming to fellowship with Adam and Eve was a figure, a type, an antitype, a shadow of a good that was in stature. In stature. He was still inferior to what Satan has in himself. Because I say Satan has three layers. I say he has three layers himself. Satan is a fallen Trinitarian being. It's a fallen what? Trinitarian being. In himself alone. Is Satan, is the devil, is the great dragon. And you have to fight these three things. You have to fight these three things when you are dealing with Lucifer, when you are in the zone of everlasting life. That's the warfare. Those are the warfare in everlasting life. You fight the Satan, you fight the devil, and you fight the great dragon. You fight Satan. As a young man, you fight the devil as the first season of your fatherhood, and you fight the dragon as your last season of fatherhood. You can't fight the devil and break that gun until you have moved into the beginning. Because the devil, the father, is the father. He's not from the beginning. Little children don't fight the devil. Little children can't fight Satan. Before you can fight Satan, you must be a young man. The young man, the one that can deal with serpent, scorpion. Then you move into young lion and dragon. That's how they arrange it in Psalms 91. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon. Thou shalt trample under feet. So the dragon is youthfulness or fallen Satan. It's when he was in his teen, his youth. What I'm trying to teach, I'm trying to give wisdom that we are dealing with. It's a philosophy and vain deceit. I am afraid that your simplicity of your mind, that Satan has begun you the way he began Eve, through his subtlety. That's how it started. You see, I can see a lot of us have been begun because you feel you're okay already. I can see that a lot of brethren thinking that you are okay. You will feel that I'm not that bad. When you say, Pastor is talking about good, you feel you are good. Because you say, yes, sir, and you are biting your head like bush rushish. You feel that that's the kind of goodness they want to make us. Those are still good that is very low. Good that when the short arrow, that foundation will be destroyed. They are not good that can handle the wicked. They are not good that can handle the dragon. When the wicked unleash his thing, that people say the love of many will wax cold. You think you have love? Your love is not sure if it can still wax cold. Yes, sir. Sure? You are not like what Solomon was painting. Many water cannot quench love. Neither can the flood drown it. If they bring some quality against you, when the wicked bring some quality against you, some quality. You have not been raised above cruelty of the devil. I would say, the tender mercy of the wicked is cruelty. You see, everyone want to raise us above what can be corrupted. They want to burn us into the world of everlasting. You know, you see, I came out of way of the earth. I was seeing things that I was seeing the work of the Father that we want to do. The Father business I must do. We must not allow form fear to carry us away and think that you are doing fine because you and your husband you don't fight. You think you are good. You are not good yet. That's not how they measure good. You need to join into a zone where you are sure and join to a place where you are very sure. Become steadfast. That is when you say a man has beaten all the wise or the devil. They call this place is the school of biblical truth. It's a school where, because God is our truth in the world part. When you don't access truth, you won't ascend in wisdom. That's that truth in the world part. That will make you to know wisdom in the hidden part. Truth in the world part and wisdom in the hidden part. Where you move wisdom into your hidden part. Where things that are hid from me.
Yes.
You push truth into your hidden part. Where you don't even know. Your hidden part, you don't know. That's where you need to move into. You move things into that place. You move in corruption into those zones. Through obedience,
yes,
through doing commandments. It's only those things that the Father of light can see. Where the word of God that all creatures are open before him between bones and marrows. Things are in our bones. Oh. Things are in our bones. Microscope need to see what is in our bones. World microscopes only see are things that is natural. They want to purge us and get rid of those things. John, Apostle John, understood those things. Those are what John was saying. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should call sons of God. Now are we sons, but that don't yet appear what it shall be. But when you know when we shall see him, shall be like him. Every man that had this kind of hope to be like him, purify himself, even as he, the Father, is pure. Not the way you are pure before men. Not before angel. Not the purity of angel. He said he charged his angel fully.
Yes.
God. God's eyes are so pure. He's charged his angel. He charged them fully. Job.
Amen.
The zone of good that we are pushing on to is not good among men. It's not good among angels. They are not good of creation. We are talking about good. Good that is of the Father. Every good gift. That's when you say good is sure. And a good is steadfast. That good will remain steadfast. No matter what adversity does to it. So that steadfast, some call it very sure. Those are good that also come through testimony. There's a good that comes by the word of God. There's a good that is by testimony. The word of God will make you good and sure, but the testimony of God will make you very sure, which means steadfast. Those are men that enter behind the veil. That will say, when you enter behind the veil, you say you are fled for refuge. You are fled for safety, salvation. That soul have escaped. That's when you cannot say, there's no less. Oh, rest you. But you cannot relax. That's when you start relaxing. Not relaxing that I can see everywhere now. Because men have knowledge. They are still just in the world of precept and they are relaxing. We have not done the work. And we are relaxing. And that's a great deception. It's a great delusion that comes upon men. And it will never come to us because God has given us only apostles and prophets of the New Testament. Because the New Testament was not judged by because people are sharing food and they are carrying clothes and they are sharing shoes to each other. They know that sharing shoes is not comfort, it's not charity, it's not perfect charity. Perfect charity is not what the carnal mind can read. Perfect charity is when your brother can rebuke you in the secret. And when you come and nobody can see that your brother has done that, you are not used as to behave to your brother. That's when you say, this, you have a father in charity in you. You take that word, you correct it, and nobody knows that such a thing has gone inside. That's how you know. And your heart is not bitter. It does not change your heart. But that's when you know that you have really arrived, that you are a work has been done on your inside. It's not sharing our clothes. It's not sharing our houses. It's not sharing poor car together. That's not how you judge it. We start with that. But then, when we move into the word charity, when you see charity envieth not.
Mm-hmm.
Charity suffer long. You see things that they are describing. They are not talking about. They are not talking about giving food, giving clothes. They are not talking about. It's more of inward, and you weave it onto fervent charity. That means we still complain about each other. You say we are not yet fervent charity. Lord bless us.
Amen.
And show us great mercy and great grace. God wants us to be good. God wants us to be good. To be good as God. God bless you. Keep you, cause the shine upon you, and be gracious upon you. I pray that we are going to enjoy mercy and grace. Lord, we push us further and push us deeper into the life of God, and into the conversation that's from above. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyo Senior Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.